The following is a lecture entitled Worshipping the Holy Name, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 25th, 2009, in Govinda Valley, Australia.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Barakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sangra Jata Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakonvitamsha.
So, tonight's transcendental topic, another treat in the retreat. How the holy names can be worshipped. The very best worship for the holy names of Krishna is to propagate them for the deliverance of the fallen conditioned souls. It is called Sankirtan Yajna. If you want to be the best worshipper of the holy names, then dedicate your life, first of all, to revolutionizing your own heart. And to whatever extent you're able to revolutionize your own heart by taking shelter of the names, to that extent, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will give you shakti, or energy, devotional energy, for preaching. So this is why the preachers, they strive for the topmost sadhana. Because they know the more better their sadhana is, the more they become empowered for pushing forward this movement. They develop a, this is called Sankirtan fever, or a great eagerness to bless the fallen conditioned souls of this planet with Krishna consciousness. In fact, they feel a burning in their hearts to see how much people are suffering in ignorance. It's like a blazing inferno within their hearts to see the forest fire that's going on all over the whole world, the forest fire of material consciousness. So, these advanced worshippers of the holy name, they try to extinguish that blazing fire of material existence by preaching, distributing Prabhupada's books, distributing prasadam, inviting people to programs at their home or other places, somehow or other find ways to get more and more people involved in the Krishna consciousness movement so that gradually the whole world can become Krishna conscious. There is no better worship of the holy name than this. We just had a meeting about avoiding the 10 offenses. So, Prabhupada explains in his purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when a devotee of the Lord becomes completely free from all offenses in his chanting, then he becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the entire world will take up Krishna consciousness. So every one of us should strive for purity. You see. Not for name and fame, no, but for the service. Every one of us should strive to become a potent propagator of Krishna consciousness for the sake of helping people. Not that I want to be recognized as a powerful preacher, no. If one has a desire like that, that can get in the way, you see. But one should have a sincere desire to help people who are suffering. And that desire is very much blessed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Do you know why one is very much blessed by Lord Chaitanya if he takes up that mood? Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. Chaitanya Charanamrita, that's the Korean, yes, Charanamrita. He takes the Lord Chaitanya is actually in great anxiety. You see, all these conditioned souls, they are his beloved children, his parts and parcels. Those of you who are parents, just imagine if your child became lost. Wouldn't you feel in great anxiety? You came home one day and you went to the... Your child disappeared. And you call the police, everyone's looking, no one can find him. Just imagine the anxiety, you see. So how much anxiety is felt by the Supreme Lord to see his children separated from the spiritual existence, wandering aimlessly like hippies, wandering hippies, trying to find some happiness and being totally bewildered by this material existence. So this is a great cause of anxiety for Lord Chaitanya. And if anyone pitches in to help, well, Lord Chaitanya, I want to help you save these fallen conditioned souls. Please engage me as your service. Let me preach on your behalf, on your order. And so Lord Chaitanya becomes very pleased. You are taking part of my anxiety and shouldering it on your shoulders. Part of my burden of anxiety, this devotee is now taking. So this is the way to become very dear to Lord Chaitanya. To feel compassion in your heart for the suffering souls of this Kali Yuga. And to try to do something. Not just think about it, but actually do something. To help people. Go out with Prabhupada's books, knock on some doors, meet people on the street corner, you know, or invite people to your house, have a little kirtan, prasadam. Do something. Go to the temple, offer your services there to help the preaching activities go forward somehow or other, or give a donation. Somehow or other, find a way that you can contribute to the deliverance of the fallen conditioned souls, you see. That is the topmost worship of Krishna's holy names. You see that they are distributed. So these two things work hand in hand. In fact, Prabhupada has given a very wonderful translation in the string of prayers. You may all know, for those who are familiar, we sing, Bahir Nasingo, Hridaye Nasingo. Prabhupada gave a very elaborate translation for these four words, which literally mean Nishringa without and Nishringa within. That's really, literally all it's saying. Nishringa without and Nishringa within. Nishringa externally and Nishringa internally. That's all it's literally saying. But the great acharyas, they understand the inner meaning, the esoteric inner meaning of something which we cannot understand with our neophyte brains. So Prabhupada has given a translation like this. May Lord Nishringadev dwell within my heart, killing all of my bad propensities. That's how he translates Hridaye Nishringa. May Lord Shringadev dwell within my heart and kill all my bad propensities. And then how did he translate the other one? Bahir Nasinga. And let my mind become clean so that I can peacefully worship the Lord and make the entire world peaceful and spread peace to the entire world. So this is how Prabhupada is translated, you see. The devotee is praying that his heart can become completely pure and that he can be engaged in the service of bringing peace to the entire world, you see. This is the meditation of the great acharyas. Prabhupada explains, Rupa Goswami is praying that I am trying to spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, although I feel completely unfit to do so. If one thinks, oh, I'm a great preacher, I'm the latest Jagat Guru on the transcendental scene and I will save the world. No. You see, then it's finished. You're not going anywhere. You'll just be Don Quixote chasing windmills with that sort of a mood, you see. The mood is, as Rupa Goswami said, I'm completely unfit for pushing forward this movement all over the world. But you know what Prabhupada said after he gave us the description of Rupa Goswami's mood? Rupa Goswami, again, he's saying, I'm trying to spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, although I'm totally unfit for such an exalted activity. Prabhupada then explains, he said, this should be the attitude of the preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement. Every one of them should have this attitude. That my life is dedicated for making the world Krishna conscious, you see. Even though, you know, who am I? What I can do? I'm nobody. I'm just a struggling, godas, trying to regulate my eating and sleeping properly and chant my rounds, you see. But this is actually the mood. Bhagir nasinga, hridaye nasinga. Let all this dirt be removed from my heart so that I can actually do something to save the people of this planet from their suffering condition. So this desire to be able to put out the fire of conditional life throughout the entire world, this is the special prerogative of the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see. Because we are ordered to do this. We are ordered to do this. Whomever you meet, tell him about the teachings of Krishna. And this way, on my order, you become guru and save the people of this country, you see. That is the order of every Chaitanyaite, to be a spiritual revolutionary for pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. So if you really want to worship the holy names, then you need to become a spiritual revolutionary. Beginning right there in your own heart. Tell Mr. Lust to get the heck out. Tell Mr. Anger to go over somewhere else, you know, go down to the South Pole or something. Mr. Greed, don't need you anymore. Madness, illusion, and envy, especially envy. You can just go, you know, just get lost and never come back again, Mr. Envy. Kick all these enemies out of the heart, you see, by powerful chanting. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And try to push forward this Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada told us, his disciples, he said, now your duty is to become guru and save the world. So, this is how we worship Krishna's name, is by propagating it, spreading it, going out and singing and dancing in the streets, distributing books, making devotees, having home programs, everything we can do. Push forward this movement so that everybody can become happy. That is the greatest Harinam Puja. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yes. I don't follow.
What is the proper etiquette for the hearers?
Hearers.
To sit
to sit.
To listen to the speaker.
They should face the speaker. Is it wrong to turn them around?
No, the speaker. Is it the hearer should sit in front or the speaker has to turn around them?
Turn around them? What does turn around them mean?
The speaker should turn towards them or...
I thought you meant go physically go over and turn them around.
No.
Like, you know. Send somebody over to turn them around.
The
like somebody sits back here and the speaker has to look back here, look over here. Yeah. Everybody should come forward. Yeah.
I'm just saying that that's what I'm wondering.
Front and center, as much as possible. Yeah, okay. All right. Now that Manaji has made the seating more transcendental, thank you very much, Manaji. Okay, next question. Proper etiquette is just everyone should come front and center, you see. No, the Mataji is also right behind the men. They're the second tier. Everyone should come up. The men should be sitting close in and the Mataji is right behind them.
But everybody is sitting on the side. That's
not fine. No, it shouldn't be the side thing way over there. No, everyone should be front and center. Yeah. A slight buffer between the men and the ladies. Yeah. Slight buffer. Yeah. Okay. Is that good now, Debbie? Are we okay now? There's some spots. Some of you men in the back, there's spots right over here. Come on. Yeah. Should be centered, you know. Nicely centered. Not that everything's, you know, lopsided. Yeah, nicely centered. Yeah, this is looking really good. Really good. Very good. Jai. I'm more enlivened to speak now. It looks like you're interested to hear me.
It's not a matter of enlivening and hearing to get the message. You should not be sitting on the side where the speaker has been, but you should be sitting.
I mean, even in the material world, I remember when I took a special course in high school preparing me for college. And the lady, I remember the lady, she was a real fired up old lady. She said, yeah, when you go to college, you should sit in the front row, right in the center in the front row, and show your eagerness to hear. And that's actually very good, you know. And it's also in our Vaishnava Sampradaya also. You know why Prabhupada was accepted as a disciple? Do you know the story, how that happened? Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, with his disciples, they were doing the Braj Mandal Purukam, you know, going all over Braj Mandal to different holy sites for many, many days. So in the evening time, there would be some lecture, just like we're having a lecture now. But in Vrindavan area, in the evening, there's also darshan. It's a big festive time in the evenings when the heat of the day is gone. Everyone loves to go to the temples for darshan in the evening. So the people, the devotees, I mean to say, they had a choice. You can go for darshan or you can go for the lecture. But you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati spoke in very erudite English. The materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat, etc., etc. And these are all simple Bengali boys who can hardly speak any English anyway, village boys, you know. I mean, even we native speakers, we have to get out the unabridged dictionary to understand what Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati is talking about. So you can imagine in the evening, most people went to the darshan or the lecture. They went for darshan. Just a small handful of people would be there listening. A few sannyasis and one young householder from Allahabad named Abhay Chadan Day. He was also sitting there. Front and center, very fired up to hear whatever came out of Guru Maharaj's mouth. Prabhupada said, I would understand or I would not understand, but still I would go on listening. So just like in ISKCON, when somebody is being put forward for Diksha, the local devotees will recommend to the spiritual master, we'd like to recommend such and such for initiation. So the devotees in Allahabad recommended to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Yes, there's one Pharmaceutical businessman, Mr. Abhay Chattandey, we'd like to recommend him for Diksha, Guru Maharaj. He said, oh yes, I know him. The others go away, but he stays and he listens. You see. So, Prabhupada said that because I heard nicely, now I can preach nicely. So if you want to be a powerful preacher of Krishna consciousness, all you have to do is be very eager to hear. You see. Be very eager to hear when people are preaching from Prabhupada's teachings. Become very, very eager to hear. And by that eagerness to hear, you become empowered to become a powerful preacher in the future who can make many, many devotees. So, any other questions?
Previously, when we are discussing regarding the questions, we come up with some questions.
All right, these are questions from your meeting, okay?
Inattentive chanting and how to overcome the obstacles or how to concentrate in chanting more.
Well, the first thing is if you get up early in the morning and not mix it with all kinds of activities, before your work activities begin, when you're in a more meditative frame of mind, that's the best time to concentrate and do your chanting. Our early morning hours will make it so much easier. What I do is I get up at 3 o'clock, so I get as many rounds done as possible before Mangalarti. And in this way, there's even less distractions before Mangalarti. So I like getting up before Mangalarti and finishing many japas as possible before Mangalarti. So the earlier you can chant, the easier it is. And that's my personal experience. And it's confirmed by Prabhupada. He actually advises finishing all year round before sunrise. And in addition to that, you have to understand there's nothing more serious business I have to do than to absorbing my mind in the holy name of Krishna. This will save me from the repetition of birth and death. If I can qualitatively absorb my consciousness in the sound of Krishna's names, I will be safe from the clutches of death. I will achieve immortality. So if you understand the importance of it, the gravity of it, that will make it much easier to concentrate. And if you're still having difficulty, all you have to do is beg Krishna to help you. My dear Lord, I'm trying to take shelter of your holy name, but I have no taste for the name, my Lord. My mind keeps wandering away like a monkey running here, running there. My dear Lord, please bless me that I can concentrate on you and your most merciful manifestation, your holy names. In this way, if you beg Krishna very feelingly, like a helpless child begging for mercy, you see, then you will find that your mind will be, Krishna will empower you and be able to keep it focused. Next question. You have a whole list? Are they something I can read? If I can read it, it'll be easier than me trying to hear. Where's my little flashlight? Here it is. Okay, good. All right. I want to know the meaning of the Maha Mantra. Yes. of course, literally, Hare refers to the energy of God, and Krishna and Rama are names for the Supreme Lord. But in a practical sense, we are begging the Lord and His energy that you please engage me in your pure devotional service. Okay, Krishna is three times more powerful than we take the name Rama. So why we take the name above? Well, that is coming from Krishna himself, the supreme authority. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even though Rama is not as potent, it's actually more potent. If it's taken by itself, Rama is less potent. That's it. But if you were to say, okay, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, instead of, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. You know what? That'll be less potent. If you just go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, it'll be less potent. than if you chant Krishna and Ram. You know why? Because that's the order of the Lord. That's the injunction of the Kali Sansarana Upanishad. Sampradaya Vahina Ye Mantrashte Nishpalamata. Did I say it wrong?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Even though I said it wrong, I was trying to bring about a revolution. So anyway. It is stated like that. Even if the words are regularly composed, they're meant to bring about a revolution. So I'm trying to bring about a revolution, even if sometimes I make a mistake. The intention is not mistaken. Although sometimes the words may be mistaken. So the point is, in simple language, if you do the Hare Krishna mantra as we have it, with alternating Krishna and Rama and Ram, that's more potent than if you just do Krishna instead of Krishna and Ram. Because that is what is given. Sampradaya vrihinaye mantrashte nishpalamata. If the mantra that you are chanting is not coming in disciplic succession, it has no potency. So if you can concoct your own new, so-called new improved Maha Mantra, guess what? It has no potency at all. The Shastra says, nishpal, no fruit, no result. That's the result. That's what it is. How to overcome the degradation of time or on the age of Kali? Well, the degradation of time in terms of the material body rotting, you'll never overcome it in this body. Just like with old age, my hearing is going bad, you see. That you can try your best with medicine and medical treatments to overcome the degradation of time in that way, but it's a losing battle. You may hold it off, but it's a losing battle. Everyone's going to get sick and old and die no matter what. That degradation will go on. As far as the age of Kali becoming more and more degraded, as we read earlier today in the Prabhupada's description of the Bhagavatam, there is a 10,000-year period during which the Krishna Ganges movement will flood the whole planet Earth with Krishna Bhakti. So by preaching, we can actually counteract the degrading influence of the age by powerful preaching, which is based on what? Pure chanting. How to inculcate the child to develop the interest in spiritual and devotional service. It's very simple. You better inculcate yourself, mothers and fathers. You inculcate yourself. I've seen parents come forward, okay, now, let us go to Guru Maharaj. The parents don't offer obeisances, but they push the kid into obeisances position on the floor, and they don't offer obeisances. That doesn't work. The parents have to be acharyas. Monkey see, monkey do, they say. Yeah, that's right. So you do exactly what you want your kids to do. You do that. You be what you want your kids to be. Don't just tell them. You show them. Whatever you want them to be, you be that and be even more than them. And let them follow your example. Let them follow in your footsteps. That's the key. Okay, how to introduce chanting for children? Well, it's the same principle. You have to be addicted yourself. You must become an addict of the holy name. That you chant at every available opportunity. You're just dying. More chanting. Don't expect your children to develop a taste for things that you don't have a taste for. You develop taste. Sincere eagerness to chant as much as possible, and your children will follow you. The third Vedic Shikshastakam, more humble than the grass, more tolerant than the tree, offer respect to everyone. Don't expect respect from anyone. What is the logic behind this? What is the logic behind this? Mm. It's very simple logic. The more that you are proud, thinking, I am great, you won't get taste for the name. You won't. You may chant to make a show of being a great chanter, but you won't have any taste. You won't. It is be a mechanical process for you, if you're proud. But if you're humble, if you're truly humble, don't put your finger in your mouth, it's dirty. If you're truly humble, then you can really dive into the nectar of the name and taste unlimited sweetness in ever-increasingly powerful waves of bhakti which inundate the ocean, the canyon of your heart. So that humility, the logic is, the more you're humble, the more you taste the nectar, the more you're proud, the more you have no taste. That's the logic. Is that it? Actually, our time is up, but we can go a little over time, I think. Oh, there's more on page. Okay, this is blank page, right? Okay, here we go. Inattentive chanting is an obstacle.
Same thing. I wrote on the first
copy.
It's a copy. It's the same thing. Nothing else.
What am I? This a question?
No. Before I
there's some notes.
Notes.
Oh, okay. All right. Questions.
You gave the translation of the Maha Mantra before, but earlier today you were saying that we should cry out to Srimati Radharani.
Yes, hooray is, when we say hooray, the energy of the Lord, that is Radharani. Yeah. She is the Haladini Shakti. The Haladini energy. She is the energy of Krishna. So when we call to hooray, call out, actually, in Sanskrit grammar, it is actually hara is the name, but in the vocative form, when you call out, just like we say Radharani, but if you call to her, you say Radhe. She is Radha, but if you're calling out to Radha, then one calls out Radhe. That is Sanskrit grammar. So just like we call Radhe to Radha, we call out Hare to Hara. So Hara is the energy of the Lord, but in the vocative form, it becomes Hare. And that is Srimati Radharani. Okay. Hari Bol Maharaj. How important it is to follow cleanliness while we chant. Some people chant even without taking their bath on the bed where they sleep, after having prasadam without washing hands and mouth. No, after prasadam, you got to wash your mouth. You got to wash your hands before you touch your beads. You got to wash your hands. Now, some people live in a house where the family members don't especially like them getting up early to chant in the morning when everybody else is asleep. In such a house, it might be ill-advised to take a bath in the morning, to take an early morning shower and wake up all your family members. It might be more tactful to just wake up, you know, maybe have an Ashman cup by your bed or something, pour a little water on your hands and maybe your mouth, and just chant without a bath. The holy names themselves are a bath. So, I mean, it's always nicer to take a bath first, but maybe you're in line for the shower also. There's a number of, you know, I remember we were there with Prabhupada. There was about 50 of us in line for one little shower in Atlanta. So what are you going to do while you're waiting in line for the shower? You're going to chant your rounds, of course. The huge queue of brahmacharis waiting. Everyone's there chanting Hare Krishna, waiting for their shower. So it's not some fanaticism. No, you can't chant until you take your shower. I mean, it's not fanaticism. Of course, if you have the opportunity, then naturally one would want to bathe. But if there's some practical reason you cannot bathe, just like you're on the airplane. You see, well, how are you going to take a bath on the airplane? That little sink? Do the anima city make yourself that big and then take a bath in the sink? Or take a sponge bath, you know? No, it's It's a little impractical. So yeah, you have time, place, and circumstance. But as far as prasadam, you have to wash your hands after taking prasadam. You can't touch your beads, you know, if you put your hand in your mouth taking, just like I told you, the mouth is dirty. You know, you can't eat, put prasadam, you know, put your hands in your mouth to honor prasadam and then pick up your beads. You have to wash your hands. Okay, let's see. How important is to sit in a correct posture when we chant? Well, I'm not going to name any names. There was one devotee I had to correct this morning. He was sitting chanting his japa like this. I don't want to embarrass him. He's a dear devotee, but you know, Prabhupada, you can hear on the japa tape, Prabhupada says, sit properly. You can understand that Prabhupada doesn't want us slouching around, you know, like an opium den or something like that, you know. It's not that you have to be a rigid yogi also, with the full lotus position, and you know. It's just to sit reasonably straight because it will help your concentration. You know, sit reasonably straight, a nice, healthy posture. It's good. If you get laid back, you know, like this, then your consciousness gets into this laid-back mood. It's better to sit straight. I was even told that Prabhupada said there's one thing the children should learn in the Gurukula. Only if they can learn only one thing, they should learn to sit straight. So actually, good posture, you know, sitting nice and straight, you'll find it helps you to chant good rounds. Okay. All right, anything else? Send those questions up, especially the written questions are appreciated. But I'll take oral ones as well. Huh? Go ahead.
We're just talking about sitting down and chanting. But before you mentioned Srila Prabhupada, there's a video of him walking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine if we're having difficulty sitting.
If you're falling asleep, then by all means, get up and stand up or get up and walk. Why the commitment of 2 hours of japa is every day? Well, first of all, Prabhupada never said 2 hours. He said 16 rounds. He mentioned in the early days of ISKCON that one could chant a round in 5 minutes also. It depends on how practiced you are, because the only requirement is you have to hear and utter each syllable. If you can do that quickly, then there's no reason you have to chant for 2 hours. For 16 rounds. You can chant an hour and 20 minutes and hear and chant each syllable, that's also okay. That way you can chant extra rounds in the same amount of time, or you can study or do service. So 2 hours is not a hard and fast rule. At least 16 rounds properly uttered and heard, that is the hard and fast rule. Why 16 rounds? Why not any other number? Is it scripture or the acharya? Well, actually, the real injunction is 64 rounds, which is 100,000 names every day. That's where it comes from. 1 lakh. In India, they say lakh. We don't know that in Western, but in India, they say lakhs and crores. We say 100,000 and a million, you know, in Australia and the U.S., So 1 lakh names, 100,000 names. If you chant 64 rounds, then you've covered 1 lakh of names each day. So Prabhupada introduced, he wanted the devotees, all right, 64 rounds. Now Haridas Thakur, he did 3 lakhs every day, which is about 196 rounds, somewhere like that. So Prabhupada introduced that we could do 1 lakh, that's 64 rounds every day. They said, Swamiji, we cannot do so many rounds. He said, all right, 32 rounds. He said, we cannot do that. He said, all right, 16. This was a concession by Prabhupada. So, but why is it cut off at 16? I mean, why not 8? Why not 4? Why not 1? I mean, we could get more members, initiated devotees that way. Why 16? Because many of us have a hard time even doing 16. So why is 16 really an essential number? Well, how many of you, before you head out for your day, want to make sure that your mobile phone is fully charged? isn't it? You wouldn't want to miss that important call, a job offer or something in the middle of the afternoon. You wouldn't want to miss that phone call. So you make sure your battery is fully charged. So 16 rounds is the minimum to fully charge your spiritual battery for 24 hours. That's why 16. Okay, how to focus our mind while japa. I already answered that. How to concentrate our mind only on Krishna. Well, it's the same thing. But I can elaborate a little further. We have to understand that there's nothing that exists outside of Krishna, first of all. There is no such thing as something existing outside of Krishna's energy. So everything that exists is within Krishna. So it's not that by focusing on Krishna, you become disconnected somewhere else. If you focus on Krishna's name, you become perfectly connected with everything. So you're not missing out by focusing on Krishna. You're gaining everything. Okay, when someone is depressed, in distress, the japa is not very effective. Why should we chant? It's more a mechanical process. That's when you really need to chant. If one is depressed, one should understand that my chanting is not being properly done. I'm doing something wrong, and that's why I'm depressed. If your chanting is proper, then you'll be ecstatic no matter what's happening in the material world. You see, because the chanting takes you beyond the material energy. The distress we experience is all within the material energy. There is no distress in the spiritual energy. The only reason we feel distress or stress is because we're still within the material energy. It's like I give that seminar in Pune, in that corporation. No stress, success. Because when you're in the spiritual energy, you see, there is no stress. It doesn't exist there. There's no such thing as stress in the spiritual energy or distress. So if you're depressed, it means you're not taking shelter of the name. So you just have to realize this and intensify your chanting. Go deeper into the name. Just like if you're in the ocean and a hurricane comes, the water can be pretty turbulent. But if you're a fish and you don't need the oxygen, you can just start going, you just dive deeper and deeper. Or you have some bathyscope that allows you to go deep. You could do that also. You go deeper and deeper into the ocean until you no longer feel the effect of the hurricane on the surface. So if you're depressed, it just means your chanting is superficial. You have to go deep into the name, become more and more and more absorbed in the name of Krishna, and then there won't be depression anymore. You go, wow, it's gone. I'm ecstatic. This is nectar. I'm tasting the nectar. Wow, this is great. How to maintain the taste of the holy name after a while. And we're chanting all 16 rounds in one go. Well, if you're chanting them properly, the name should be getting sweeter with each japa, with each round. You see, in the material world, you're very hungry, right? You sit down, there's a big plate of vishayam, you go, wow, that's great. And you eat the whole plate, they come with seconds. You're still pretty fired up, but starting to, phase out a little bit. For thirds, oh no. No. But see, the holy name is not like that. The first round, great. The second round, pretty good. No, the holy name, if you're chanting it properly, each round becomes sweeter and sweeter. You go, wow, that was the most ecstatic experience I ever had, chanting that round. And now the second one's going to be more ecstatic, you see, in this way. It's ever increasingly nectarian. If you're not getting it like that, you're doing something wrong. You're not going deep into the name. You got your mind on a different track and the name going on a different track. You got to bring your mind back to the same track the name is going on. And then you'll get ever-increasing nectar. With each bead, the nectar will get sweeter and sweeter. The honey will get thicker and thicker with each bead. What should we think of or concentrate on while japa? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's it. You got it. Okay. When you have a newborn baby, how does the lady continue her commitment of 16 rounds before the kid wakes up? Because once he's awake, that's it. Finished. Whenever the kid's asleep, in other words, the mother has to forget about sleeping. She has to really become a yogi. I mean, she has to sacrifice. First of all, she's sacrificing practically all of her sleep for the baby already. Now she has to sacrifice even more. So the husband should be a little considerate in seeing her situation. Do a little babysitting also. Give her a chance to chant some good quality round. Don't torture the poor girl. I mean, she's going through so much trouble to give you a child, so now you have to help her, you see. Okay, anything else? Yeah.
Maharaj, when it is said that we have to be humble than the blade of the grass, then is it applicable to everyone or just to the devotees? Is it applicable to office people as well?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes there's not only Vaishnava apara, there is also Jiva apara. If we're frustrated and angry and we're cruel to non-devotees, just to vent some of our frustration, you'll get a reaction for them. Because the super soul is within the heart of every living entity. So actually we should be very respectful to everyone. Don't you remember the story of Magrari the hunter? Were those ants Vaishnavas? Well, not overtly. Actually, ultimately, every jiva is a Vaishnava. But that is covered now. The ones we call Vaishnavas are the ones whose Vaishnavism has become uncovered. So actually, as Magrari was respectful even to those little ants, we should also be very, very respectful to every living entity. I remember when I was there with Prabhupada in Atlanta in 1975, I was really impressed how respectful Prabhupada was even to the grass. Because, let me draw a little diagram here, show you. We had a, let's see, the Prabhupada's ashram was up here, the temple was here. So if you come out of the temple, and there was a sidewalk that went like this, and then Prabhupada would, he would go up the sidewalk here and he would come back this way to go to his ashram. Now the devotees, they all took the shortcut over the grass, walking on the grass. And there was a path that the devotees had worn. It wasn't the sidewalk. It was a worn path in the grass. Prabhupada never took that path. He always went the long way on the sidewalk. He avoided stepping on the grass. So Prabhupada was respectful even to the grass. If the grass is growing there, let it grow peacefully without somebody stepping on it. I will take the sidewalk. You see? So, what does speak of a human being? Even to grass, you should be respectful.
But in the office atmosphere, what?
Huh?
In the office atmosphere, people can start taking advantage.
Oh, yeah. If you're dealing with smart alecks like that who want to take advantage of humility, then you can play Mr. Tough Guy. Like that cobra, you know. Prabhupada also said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. When you're dealing with puffed up people like that, you should be, your humility is the humility of Hanuman who burned Lanka to the ground. That's your humility. You understand? They lit his tail on fire to have some fun, to torture the poor monkey. And he had even more fun. He lit the whole city on fire. Then he cooled off his tail in the ocean. So, yeah, you should be... we should defeat them. They are rascals. We should defeat them. They should be defeated. It's like I defeated that scientist in the University of Florida. He came in to tell us about the black holes in outer space. I said, is this a theory or a fact? There was 3,000 people at this event. And I spoke up. I said, is this a theory or is it? It was during the question and answer session. I didn't just blurt out in the lecture. It was a time for questions. And I asked, is this a theory or is this a fact that there's black holes in outer space? He said, well, I think it's a fact. And then I raised my head another couple of minutes later. I said, throughout the history of modern science, we have seen that one theory replaces another theory. So how do we know that your theory, noted he had just said it was a fact, now I contradicted him, and he accepted it. I said, how do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? And he said, well, I hope it is, because then we will be making progress. So we are not meant to be dumb sheep when we're in the midst of lions. When in the midst of lion, you should become a more powerful lion. That is your humility. You understand? To defeat them. To bring down their demoniac civilization and replace it with Vaishnava civilization. So when you're amongst Vaishnavas, then you should be a humble lamb. When you're amongst the lions, you should become a more powerful lion. Okay?
But it becomes a difficult situation.
Huh?
It becomes a difficult situation because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises we have to be humble and class in order to chant constantly. Like if we start becoming
Wait a minute. You should read the Chaitanya Lila and see how he defeated the Buddhists. When it comes to philosophy, there's no question of, in terms of personal respect for an individual, yes. But when it comes to philosophy, no way. Read the CC, how he defeated the Buddhists. See how he defeated Chankazi. It was done very respectfully, but it was done powerfully. What kind of religion is this? He challenged the Muslim. The Muslims were in political power. They were the political rulers. He said, what kind of religion do you have? Killing your own mother. He challenged the Muslim magistrate, who was threatening to force them all to become Muslims. You realize how heavy that was? In those days in Hindu society, if some Muslim throws water on you, you're finished. The Hindus will reject you. Oh, a Muslim threw water on you, you're out. Get out. You've been contaminated by muzz water. Get out. We don't want you around anymore. It was so heavy thing. So Qazi threatened to make them Muslims. They didn't stop his Nama Sankirtan. But they didn't take it. He gathered 100,000 men. They marched on the Qazi's house. Don't tell me, oh, Trinada peace in each chain of. Just let them do whatever. No. That's not the proper application of that principle. He was very respectful and very sweet. But at the same time, when it came to philosophy, he was very strong. What sort of religion is this, killing your own mother? You see, and the Qazi was converted. You have to be powerful. Humility doesn't mean yeah, whatever you say is okay. No. I respect you as an individual, as part and parcel of God, but when it comes to philosophy, you have to tell them, you're wrong. You have an incorrect understanding. It's like I went to the Christian church, their Wednesday night study group. And I really gave them the sweet sauce. And they were in bliss. I said, yeah, Jesus is a pure devotee. He's our spiritual master. We worship him as the Son of God, on and on and on. They were really in bliss. And then I said, but, see, in English, the word beef has a dual meaning. It means argument also. I said, but with you all, we have one beef. And that is the beef. You're eating meat. And I told them, this is wrong. This is not. And but I did it in such a way, such a nice way, that they were still smiling. You know, I told them they were wrong for eating beef. Because I did it in a poetic way. So you have to poetic is one of the qualities of a Vaishnava. Do it in a very cool, poetic way, you see. Done in a hot-headed, angry, uncontrolled way. Like Prabhupada told us, there was a, it's called Theravada Buddhism. It's a very Mayavadi, very heavy-duty Mayavadi philosophy. And there was a professor at the University of Texas when I joined the movement in 71. This professor was very popular on the campus. All the hippies used to go and audit his classes. Audit means you can just walk in and he'll listen without paying a fee. Some professors would allow people to come in and audit their class. You don't get any credit. You don't have to turn in any assignments. You can just listen. So it was in a big auditorium, and it was packed. He was very popular. He'd get up there and spout off Mayavadi philosophy. So our temple president wrote Prabhupada about this. His name was Rao. That this Professor Rao, he is preaching Mayavadi philosophy. Prabhupada said we should challenge him to public debate. He said you should argue with a cool head. So, Trinada Pisanichina doesn't mean we don't challenge the rascals. It doesn't mean we don't challenge them. But it means we do it with a cool head. In a very respectful, nice way, you see. My dear sir, like that. Give them all respect. My dear sir, I respect you very much. You're part and parcel of the Supreme Absolute Truth. But my dear sir, I beg to point out to you, you're completely in illusion on this point. In this way. So you have a natural humility, but when it comes to the doctor has to tell you when you're sick. It's his duty. A devotee has to tell people when they're wrong. Humility doesn't mean you don't tell people they're wrong. It means you do it in a loving way. That's humility. Any other questions? All right, so we can wrap it up for the evening. Everyone be here tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, Radha Damodar will make their appearance at Mangal Arti. So, and Prabhupada is here now to bless us, so it's going to be a very, very ecstatic Mangal Arti, the final Mangal Arti of our retreat. So everyone make sure to be here. There's a special boon from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur for those who observe the singing of their Gavastakam prayers during the Brahma Muhurta hour. They are given a boon that at the time of death, they will find themselves in the direct service of Lord Sri Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So if you'd like to be able to leave your body and wake up in Goloka Vrindavan, directly associated with Krishna, then make sure to be here for Mangal Arti tomorrow morning, 4:30 a.m. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.